This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Indeed, living in today's world is not easy. We go out there, some of us are working, and we find ourselves surrounded by desires. We find ourselves surrounded by people of the mentality of just do it. Do as you want. Behave as you please. We go through institutions that teach us to change our identity if we feel that that is suitable. They teach us to identify in whatever form we want to identify in. And on the other hand, you have the Muslims and Islam and Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal teaching you different. You grow up in a conservative family, in a conservative community. And it becomes difficult for you to practice your faith because the whole world out there is different. So it's very challenging. And one of the results of this is that we find ourselves inching away, moving away from the deen, from the religion, because it is something that we didn't choose per se. But it is something that it was taught to us from the time that we were born. It is the environment that we were raised in. So when a child is taught that if you don't learn your madrasa work, you will be beaten, what happens is you tend to develop this hatred for the reason that you are being beaten. I'm not saying we tend to hate the deen. But because we are beaten due to the deen, we develop attachment and association, and we associate the deen with beating. So what happens as you grow up and you come out into this wide world that is out there, and your teachers at school are telling you, do what you want, do as you please. Behave as you want. You want to do it, do it. Who's stopping you? But your parents have told you no. This is almost an alleviating feeling that you get. You feel freed from the jail. Because all along, my parents told me that is zina. Don't commit it. That is alcohol. Don't drink it. That is marijuana, don't smoke it. And all of a sudden, they are telling you, commit the adultery. Who's saying that you don't need to? Who's stopping you? What are you giving away? What are you losing? There's nothing wrong with doing it. You don't like your identity? Change it. It's not a problem. So you have two conflicting mindsets, two conflicting sets of ideologies. And there is an internal conflict that begins. And oftentimes we find that such people, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah and praise be to Allah, that due to the wiring that is in them, they may go wayward for some time. You may find a person wayward for some time. And that is why I've spoken to some youth and I've been trying to get to the bottom of this. Why is it that you find it so hard to open the Quran? And some of them tell me, I was a hafiz. I was a strong hafiz, but do you know what happened? I was beaten during that hifz, so I developed negative association with that hifz. So every time I open up the book of Allah, what do I remember? I remember the beating that I was given. Subconsciously, your mind is playing to tell you, hey, you were beaten because of this. You were beaten because of this. That teaches us so many lessons. One, the Prophet ﷺ never beat anyone due to the religion, due to the deen. The man comes into the masjid and urinates. We know the story. We know how he dealt with him. We know he was merciful towards him. Ever more so today. We shouldn't be shoving the deen down the throats of our youngsters, but we should find innovative ways to interest them in it. You have cartoons that they love watching. Get them used to cartoons that are to do with the deen. Get them used to watching content that will benefit them as well. And what that does is the child is interested in learning. So you have a person on the screen teaching them alif and ba and ta and tha, but in a beautiful way, perhaps a melodious way, then you find that the child is now interested in the deen. And secondly, those who have been beaten and those who have negative memories with regards to their upbringing and the deen need to understand that we need to look into this deen and disassociate the two. There is a clear separation between the two. And that is why you find that the Muslims will say, we should believe in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. We should have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you find that very same person is the one who is questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from time to time. Do you know how often I receive messages from sisters? And I say sisters because in my case, when I receive these messages, predominantly they are from sisters who are saying, I wanted to marry so and so, and I've been making dua in tahajjud for so long, and Allah hasn't given that to me. Why? Do you know that very question that you are asking is the reason why Allah will not respond to that dua? You've rubber stamped a rejection on your dua. Da'awtu wa da'awtu falam yustajab li. The hadith says that a person will be responded to so long as he does not say, I called out to Allah and I called out to Allah, so I was not responded to. So the Muslims are first to claim, we should have tawakkul, we should have trust in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. But when the reality kicks in, you find a person questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find a person questioning the timeline of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And interestingly, we spoke about the two different lives that a person leads. One at home and one at the workplace. One at home and one in university. One at home and one in school. And interestingly, do you know who provides you with the answers to that? The only certain thing in life. Let me ask you a question. What is the only certain thing in life? Who can answer? What is the only thing you are guaranteed in life, 100%? Yes, death, right? That is the only thing we are guaranteed in life. Yet, you find that these people who are teaching you this libertarian behavior, do as you want, just do it, have no answers with regards to death. They have no answers as to why you die in the first place. They have no answers as to what will happen after you die. So which life is of more value? Which life is of more value? Is it the secular education, modern education, libertarian education that is seeking to free you from the bounds that you grew up with? Or is it your Islam? Is it your belief in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal that will take you to Jannah? So place value on that which will give you value forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. No end. You know, when you tell a human being that forever exists, what do they say? They can't comprehend it. What does forever mean? Because in this world, we are given a timeline. So anything that we want to do, I want to drink this water, I know it will take me 2 minutes. I want to go to university, I know it will take me 4 years. I want to accomplish anything, I know that it will take me so much time. But when you tell a person, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, they will live therein forever and ever. It is out of your comprehension. You can't comprehend what forever is. But that is where, despite your lack of comprehension, you say, Amantu billah, I believe in Allah. Why? Because that certain thing that is going to happen to us, which is death, they didn't answer my question. So I believe in the one who gave me an answer. Amantu billah. I believe in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And this is why we say, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, go back to your teachings and relearn this process. Relearn how to love Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. looking to why you are a Muslim in the first place. Looking to why you believe in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah, we come from Allah, and to Him we shall return. So that is the timeline of the believer. You know Allah, you came from Him, He created you, to Him you shall return. I know I came from somewhere and I don't know where it was. I know I'm going somewhere and I don't know exactly what it is and where it is. But because Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal told me, I will believe He gave me the answer. And this answer of death and that which lies beyond, nobody. Nobody will give you this answer except for Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So value your faith. And this is why we say that when we look at the examples of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, when they believed, they believed. When they believed, they believed. Look at the mother of Musa alayhimu salatu wassalam.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا ردوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
And we inspired the mother of Musa that feed him. And when you fear for his life, then throw him into the river. Throw him into the river. Allah didn't even say, place him into the river. Allah says, throw him into the river. وَلَا تَخَافِي. And don't fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And don't be sad. Indeed, we shall return him to you. And we will make him from amongst the messengers. This is Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal giving a promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even pause to explain to us how the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam threw him into the river. But he goes on immediately to explain. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. So the family of Fir'aun picked him up so that they may become an enemy and a sadness, a point of difficulty for them. This is what Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says. There is no point that he mentions of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam being taken by his mother and placed into the river. Do you know why? Because she responded so quickly that the family, Allah moves on to the next chapter. She immediately responded to the command of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, which was to throw that child that was in her womb for 9 months into a river. That child that you love so much, that child that you care for so much, what is Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal telling you? Suckle the child, then throw him into the river. Which one of us would say, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to sacrifice for Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. We're not asking you to throw your children into rivers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to sacrifice your sleep at Fajr Salah. You find it difficult. Why do you find it difficult? It's a question you must ask yourself. And it's a question that we must pose to ourselves, because the reality of this dunya is that we are leaving it. The reality of this dunya is that we are leaving it. So ultimately, every single day when you wake up and you say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana, praise be to Allah, the one who brought us to life, wa amatana, and He gave us death, وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ, and to Him we shall return. You remember death at that juncture. Why is Allah reminding you of death when you just woke up? Because you know that ultimately the way that I slept last night is the way which one day I will close my eyes and they will never open again. And then real life will commence. And then we can truly say, Alhamdulillah, illadhi ahyana. Praise be to Allah who brought us back to life. So one of the tools to benefit from your deen, to endear yourself to your deen, is to constantly remind yourself of death. And it doesn't need to be gloom and doom. A part of death is gloomy. A part of death is scary. A part of death is something that makes us fearful. But there is another part. And that aspect is, it makes you fearless with regards to the dunya. Because you know what? I don't care about this dunya. I will leave it tomorrow. Even if I have $1 billion, $2 billion, $10 billion, it doesn't bother me if I lose every single penny of it, because ultimately I know, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. What is the value of that man that you are pining after? You are pining after to the extent that you are suicidal and want to kill yourself because you can't get him. What is the value of that man in relationship to the akhirah? What is the value of him? Let me ask yourself. Let me ask you. What is the value of that man that you are ready to kill yourself to get? When you think about it in the context of the akhirah, when you are standing before Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and He is asking you about your good and bad deeds, really, you are telling me you will be concerned about the man that you one day wanted and said that I will only marry him and nobody else? And wallahi, I'm addressing this issue, dear mothers, sisters and brothers, because I received many messages from many sisters saying it is only him I will marry, otherwise life is not worth living. Oftentimes, this is just a phase in your life. It is just a point at which you are infatuated with this human being. And there will come a time where you will look at yourself, not only in the akhirah, but 5 years from that moment, you will sit back and say, wow, did I really do that? Was that really me? So have patience, bear patience. Allah didn't give you that person because it is good for you. And that is the belief of the believer. What happened to your tawakkul now? What happened to your belief in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal now? Why is it that you are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now? What happened to all of the belief? I believe in Allah, I trust Allah. So now's the time to trust Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal and never, ever, ever attach yourself to one human being. Never ever say that it is him and it will be nobody else. It is her and it will be nobody else. Oftentimes I hear this. And wallahi, what you are saying is you are limiting Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. You are attempting to limit the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing so. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard Salamah say that there will be nobody better than Abu Salamah. Nobody better than Abu Salamah. What was his response? He says, make this dua. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlufni khayran minhu. O Allah, protect, give me goodness, give me a reward in this difficulty. And give me better than him. Give me better than him. And whom did she marry? None other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did you forget about that? Is there any reason why you choose to insist on that person? I know people who have fought their families, their mothers, their fathers, their uncles, their aunts, their brothers, their aunties, whoever it is, they fought them, their grandparents, they fight with them, go to war and battle to marry a certain person, cut them off, I won't talk to them because my habibi matters. Yes. You forgot your parents who gave birth to you, Allahu Akbar. And you let go of them for your habibi. And then when that habibi puts on punching gloves and he starts punching you up, then you want to go running back to your parents. No, he doesn't even put on the gloves. He starts punching her. And she starts punching him at times. Allahu Akbar. You know, sometimes today we say, hey, you speak in favor of the sisters, the brothers come after you. You speak in favor of the brothers, the sisters come after you. So sometimes it happens. You see family violence where the sisters are beating up the brothers. And you like, now I've cut my relationship with my family member and I can't talk to them. I can't go to them. With what face will I go to my parents? With what face will I go to my brother, yet I fought them to marry this person? Those people loved you so much that they actually told you this person is bad for you. They saw through the guys. But you were living with blinkers on. You know those love blinkers where you see everything is hearts and roses and sweet and nice and amazing. So you couldn't listen to what they were saying because your heart was telling you something else. It's time we divorce the emotion from our decisions at times. It's important. We divorce the emotion from our decisions and say, hold on, emotion matters, but first comes mental clarity. And if I'm not thinking carefully, I really need to take into consideration what my parents and those who love me are saying. So here the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, she is inspired to throw Musa alayhi salatu wasalam into the river, and she throws him into the river. And Allah Rabbul Izzati wa Jalal tells us something profound, and we need to touch upon this because it is a reality in life as well.
وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرْبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
And the heart of the mother of Musa became empty. It became empty. This is despite her following the command of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Her heart becomes empty. Someone may ask, why did it become empty if she responded to the command of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal? Because it is normal for the human being to go through cycles. It is normal for you to be attached to someone. It is normal for you to miss someone. It is normal for you to miss your father, your brother, your son, your daughter. It is normal. So she felt empty. The ayah literally says the heart of the mother of Musa became empty. So don't look at yourself and blame yourself because of your feeling at that moment. At that moment, you need to do something. And you need to do it urgently. Because if you don't, listen to what will happen.
إن كادت لتبدي به لولا أن ربطنا على قلبها لتكون من المؤمنين.
She would have revealed the secret of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The fact that Musa is her son, she would have gone to the palace and said, he is my son, he is my son. But Allah says, لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Had we not tied her heart, affirmed her heart, so that she was from who? From the believers. Allah says, we tied her heart so that she was from the believers. Had that not happened, had that tying with belief not happened, she would have revealed the secret which would have led to the detriment of Musa and her as well. They would have probably killed them both. But what happened? Allah tied her heart. And what is this attached to? It's attached to the first tawakkul. When she trusted Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal besides her intellect, she put her intellect to one side and said, you know what, this doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to do it regardless because Allah told me to do it. She did it. Allah tied her heart with belief. And then he protected her in that process. And then the result is amazing. The result is amazing.
فَرَجَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
So we returned him to his mother so that her eyes may be cooled and she will not be sad, and she knows that the promise of Allah is true. The promise of Allah is true, but most of them don't know. Most of them don't know. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal returned Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to his mother by safekeeping him in the very home of his enemy, returns him to his mother, and then says, but so that most of them know that it is the truth. The promise of Allah is true. The promise of Allah is true. But most of them don't know. With knowledge, you equip yourself to believe in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal in the way that you are meant to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not be the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We may not be Musa and Harun. And we may not be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We are not Anbiya. I agree with you. But the Anbiya existed and their examples existed for us to relive them today, for us to revisit those moments today to help us navigate our lives until the moment when certainty will come. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And worship Allah until certainty comes to you. What did we say the one certain thing in life is? Anyone remember? Death. Let's say that together. Death. Death is one certainty in life, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Did you ever realize one thing? And I'll end on this point, inshallah. Amongst this jama'ah that is sitting here today, one of us, or some of us, are deemed to go next. And when you put it that way, you begin to realize how flimsy life is. May Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal give us the ability to deal with our anxieties. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to believe in Him. Because ultimately we are headed to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahu Akbar.